Hi, everybody. This is Coach Porrick from the Humble Coach Podcast. Hope you're all doing well, and thanks again for joining me. So, guys, we're up on episode number 44, and in today's episode, I had a fantastic chance to talk to a brilliant up-and-coming coach. His name is Michael Day. So Michael is a qualified sports scientist with a master's in human nutrition. He has previously represented Galway football at minor, under-21, junior and senior level for the last 7 years, but at the moment he is working alongside Dr. Maeve Gacwin with the Galway senior under 20 and minor hurlers, providing nutrition coaching to those teams. So Michael is a youngish man. He is 24 odd, but he has a very wise old head on his shoulders, and he's had some really, really interesting experiences over the last number of years. In today's episode, we get a really, really good chance to chat about a number of different areas, both nutrition and sports performance. So hopefully you guys will enjoy the show, and thanks again for tuning in. All right, folks. So this is Coach Porrick. We are back with the Humble Coach Podcast. We're looking at episode 44. Thanks again for joining us all. I'm back with an excellent up and coming coach in a couple of different kind of arenas. His name is Michael Day. Michael, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Porrick.
Good stuff. So we're having a cup of tea. Mike's on the water. But we're going to have a bit of a chat about some of his background, if that suits, and talk a little bit about what some of the projects he's working on at the minute, and also a couple of different areas of his specialities and his career going forward, and some interesting things he wants to kind of head towards. Could you give us a little bit of background? You've got an interesting kind of backstory to a small extent. And I'm sure some people have heard it before, but could you give a little bit of background on yourself, Mike?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me again, Porrick. So my journey starts from a land far away in Inishbofin Island. So I was born in Inishbofin Island, moved out when I was 7 out to Headford. From there, played sport, did every bit of sport I could inside in the island, was going in and out during the summer in Headford. Then I was lucky enough, played in every team going through with soccer and Gaelic, brilliant clubs there in Moyne Villa in Headford. And played all the way through in the ranks, and as I got older, played minor football for Galway. I went on to the under-21s for 2 years, from 2014 to 2015. From there, was asked into the Galway senior panel, and unfortunately that year had a breakdown at Gilmore's groin. So from there then, had to work back, got back in at the end of the league again, had worked well, and was there until the summer of 2017. After that, so I'd done my undergrad in sports science in Athlone. So as I was growing up, my mother would tell you, just I wasn't at the books, I was outside with football, doing something, running. I was running away from the books more so than anything. But everything I put down was to do something in sport. So went up to Athlone, did sports science from 2011 to 2015. Nice. Loved it. But as I went through it, worked with a lot of different people through it, from elite sports to people down to disabilities, everything like that. Started to move from a sports side to kind of a clinical side. Started to love that, something I never thought I'd love. There's just something humbling about it when you're working with someone who you're given a gift to be able to run, to be able to walk, and they can't do that. You appreciate it a lot more. So from that, I got a much more appreciation towards sport. But when I was playing with the Galway seniors, when I came out of college, I never actually progressed in my field. Went straight into a factory job just in Merritt Medical and put everything into football, and had no career progression really. And it kind of, luckily and unluckily in a way, it wasn't really working out with me for Galway. Like I had one league game, few FBDs over 2 years.
Okay.
So I had been looking at courses then. So I was looking at dietetics because of the health side of it. I'd done with Dr. Maeve Gacwin in the Galway Clinic. I'd done a bit of placement, done a bit of work experience with her for 6 months on my own back. She works with the Galway Senior Hurlers as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And loved everything about it. Like, you had so much variance with the amount of patients you were meeting. It was brilliant. Like, you know, you didn't have the same thing every day. Got to meet some brilliant people. And then you're with the elite side with the hurlers, who are all Ireland winners. They're looking for that extra 0.1% each time, so you're happy on the ball with them. And so applied up to do dietetics, ended up not getting that, but getting a master's in human nutrition up in Coleraine, up in Derry. So I went up in September 2017, and it was 1 year intense master's, and it was very dietetics based approach, because because we were in with the dietitians as well, and they're off doing their placement now. Yeah. They did the same modules as us. Mm-hmm. So did that, came out of it with the first, loved it. And throughout the summer of 2018, was asked in with Jeff Linsky, mm-hmm. with the minors, the guy, yeah. minor hurlers, to do a bit, because he knew I'd done some work with Maeve before, and did a small bit of work with them. Wasn't able to do a huge amount with the travelling and everything like that, but I was lucky enough to get about 6 or 7 weeks experience with that. And once I finished up, Maeve asked me, would I come on board with her? And mm-hmm. She wants to kind of lighten the load with the Galway senior hurlers.
Nice.
So over December, I was doing a bit of sports nutrition work with her, getting to know the lads, and just doing their pre and post weights, hydration testing, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and then one-to-one kind of stuff with some newer athletes coming in. And since then, it's kind of all spiraling out. Yeah, it's all kicking off. So everyone's getting over the December and into the January, and wants me out with them the whole time now. Everyone's new nutrition plan. So from working with Maeve, because she's such high quality, I'm going to be working with the Galway minor hurlers and under 20 hurlers, doing a bit with Rahoon Hurling Club in Crockwell. And just from there, doing talks between talks, and then working with teams full time. So
excellent.
Trying to balance my own training with their training, but it's a good place to be.
Brilliant, brilliant. So you have established background there and a really strong, athletic career in the early days, and you're still quite a young man. So you've got a good bit of scope to kind of keep going. Now, obviously, with the injury issues and stuff like that. There's some challenges always kicking around, but I think that's one of the interesting things. Like myself, I'm sure you're the exact same. Back in the day, would be just thinking about the ball and not really too passionate about school. And it'd always be a little bit on that. But the fallback, I suppose, was there. How did you find the challenge of that injury and the decision to kind of go, okay, look, I need to make more of a heavy push towards my career, and how were you finding the step up from the minor to the under 21s and things like that? Was it a challenge, or was it not too bad, but it was just the incidental issue of the injury that kind of made you push the button a little bit more on the career change nearly?
Well, to be honest, when I came on a minor, that's when I got my first injury. Never been injured before. Tore my hamstring, but this is when I just got introduced to the gym.
Yes.
And I was doing all the wrong stuff myself. Mm-hmm. Built up my upper body, had no core strength, nothing done with the lower limbs. Mm-hmm. And then from that, started to break down a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And over the course of, I'd say, 12 months, I must have torn my hamstring 3 to 4 times, did meniscus in my knee, and it wasn't looking likely that by the time I was 20 or 21 that I'd be playing at a high level or playing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I owe a hell of a lot to Niall O'Toole from Allcore Gym. Worked with me with the under 21s when I first went in. So when in 2013, the year after my minor, that's when the under 21s won in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have played with a lot of the lads who won it the previous year and the years after.
Mm-hmm.
And you were looking at that and you were seeing them win All-Irelands, and it was kind of, you have a decision to make. And I was lucky enough that Alan Flynn was over them as well, mm-hmm. someone who I regard so highly as a manager, took me under his wing, everything like that. I hold the two boys into such high esteem, because without them, I probably wouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
And I just got lucky in a sense, because 2 weeks later after they won the Ireland, Alan Flynn had 60 lads in who had played minor in the last few years who were eligible for under 21s. And from there, I had one-to-one stuff with Neil O'Toole, with Alan, and then with Kev Darcy, and then I started to build up a bit more. And then when we went up from junior in 2013 with Headford, that's when my hamstring actually went again.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily enough, I'd shown well in the trains throughout the summer with Alan. He'd looked at all my games and everything like that. And it was actually on the pitch after I tore my hamstring, I was kind of looking, I was delighted we'd won, but I was looking, we're in the depths of trials here, am I going to make it? He actually came up to me, because we were playing Tuam, their second team, and Tuam's his home club.
Yeah.
And himself and Neil were at the game, and they came up to me and said, look, we're happy with what we've seen with you.
Yeah.
We're giving you to January, February, you're on it, till that time, but you have to give back to us. And that was definitely the turning point in my entire career in football, the way it is now, the way I hold my standards now as well. And luckily enough, haven't had many injuries since. Did loads of work with Neil, with Kevin Darcy, got myself right. And when I came back in 2014, starting for the under-21s, and from there progressed on, went back to the club, was starting to make more of an impact with the club. And just kind of kept going from there, went into 2015, probably had my one of my best years in 2015. Unfortunately, we lost in the Connacht final, and then went to America, played over there, enjoyed everything there is over there. It's brilliant, like, that you're over playing football, enjoying time with your friends, and just getting that freedom to play.
Yeah.
But it was over that time, probably between Everton, I wasn't taking care of myself when I was over there, and that's when Everton started to break down with Gilmore's groin.
Yeah.
Because of me being a taller person as well, my biomechanics were a bit off, and it was just kind of overuse.
Yeah.
But came back then and was training, got called in for the Galway seniors, showed very well throughout the December, and from then I just got the injury, but had shown enough to kind of get myself going. So
exactly,
everything kind of started from that kind of 2013 with Neil and Alan, and from that, from when I started getting the injuries, I started saying, look, I need to get my career kind of right as well. Yeah. Kind of put that on the side burner for a little while, but luckily enough, it's kind of worked out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a, I'm sure you can attest to that being thankfully not a massively common occurrence these days. Now, it's hopefully getting a bit better, but it's still under a bit of pressure, I'd say. And working now with a lot of the, especially with the younger kind of teams, but you can see yourself with the, would be ahead with the kind of home club team, and even potentially out in Boffin here and there, whatever it is, like, and with the newer teams that you're kind of working with, you'll see them. I know it's early doors, but you've already probably seen a couple of potential challenges within that kind of context, as in the elements that you want to put into the system and really build good quality structure so that they can actually maintain that good consistency throughout and not lose any people in the middle of that. Is there a couple of areas in particular? We'll talk more about the nutrition piece in a little while, but I'm going to be a bit selfish on this one. I'm kind of looking at the S&C kind of element a little bit first. And I think with the, I'm only reading the piece about by Paddy Cassan and the lads the last couple of days in the paper, talking about that, there's no point in getting an S&C coach in and then just kind of doing a nice whitewash of a program and the whole lot, because it's just not really ideal. So is there particular pieces of that kind of recovery that you really, really enjoyed? Was it a heavy structural and biomechanical kind of an orientation, or was it just an actual building of strength that you see, you think might be more helpful for a lot of the younger players kind of up and coming, or is it a bit more balanced? Just could you maybe have a little bit to speak about that?
Yeah, so definitely, like, when I got a lot of my injuries, it was because I wasn't doing enough kind of the activation side of stuff and wasn't taking care of those sides of things. So definitely I still go to the gym a lot. I love that side of it, love the whole side of trying to get your power up, because it does. There's so much research on it, how it shows on the pitch and everything like that, for your running economy, anything like that, for your power. And it's definitely helped me in the long run as well. But definitely for the, I work a bit with the underage kind of coming through, because I want to try and help them come through as much as I can. And I know a lot of them, the lads who are kind of 18, 19, 20 coming through, and try and give them a helping hand. Yeah. And that's the main thing. It's just the one little thing that I just think is, if you can get your own body weight right, get your control and the activation side of stuff, so band work, everything that.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be one for one day a week, 2 days a week, I'll do an hour of stretching.
Yeah.
And that'll be set to a day. Like, now it's, you know, 10 minutes a day, doing a bit of activation for 5 minutes. And that's definitely given me a lot more, a better body for what I'm trying to do as well, for everyday activities and have been more functional, and just keeps the body ticking over the whole way rather than just setting it to one day and everything like that. So that's the one thing, every last lad that comes in, I'm like, look lads, try and get the band, get up, make sure before you go out you've a good 10 minutes of that done mm-hmm. before you go out, and that's the main thing.
Yeah.
And when they're coming into the gym, any of the lads that I'm helping, it's all make sure you can work your own body weight, get your core right, control, and work it from there. Don't, like, I was always worried about trying to put on size and everything like that, and that's it's not a bad thing in a way, but if it's done right,
yeah.
When I went with Neil O'Toole, it started being done right. Mm-hmm. When I was on my own, it wasn't. So yeah. I think the S&C side of it, like that, you need to have someone there all the time, especially as young athletes yeah. as well, because it's such an integral part of them for them to grow mm-hmm. and to be able to get used to the hits, to the higher intensities as they get older.
Yeah.
Like my age, like, you know, from Absolutely. 6 or 7 years ago when I was 18, 17, you're literally thrown into the deep oh, end yeah. of it without yeah, yeah. any... And it's not the fault of the S&C coach that was no. there. They weren't given the time. Mm-hmm. Now they are. And
yeah.
same with the nutrition. That's starting to come up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that's what you want to be seeing.
Yeah.
And any advice I can give to the younger lads coming through,
mm-hmm.
I'm delighted to do. Like, you know, and you're hoping that they take it on board.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that you mentioned that now. And I like the orientation towards that, because I suppose in my own job and the workouts that we would kind of do, there's always that nice, consistent... Like, I think... A lot of the time it can look like there has to be the new cool thing kind of being added in.
Yeah.
And it's always just a new flashy thing. So we saw on YouTube, we're going to add a bit more of this in. Or we're going to do a bit more split snatching or something like that. And we're like
yeah.
a little bit more extra power work and a bit more flashy stuff that we saw. We saw West Ham doing it once. We saw someone else
yeah.
doing it. And you're like, look, it's not really appropriate if you don't have the original actual people to do that. Like, there's no point in going for it. But if you do have some good high-level... good up and coming high level kind of athletes, there has to be a cognizance for their actual individual issues going on and what they've done before, and but I think a lot of that will come into, especially with dealing with those kind of higher level teams, building the consistent habits to keep those athletes able to maintain that level of consistency across a long period of time, rather than just flash in the pan kind of a couple of years job and like kind of dropping off a bit. But I think that's one of the interesting things, because within that control, like you mentioned, some of the kind of younger players who might be kind of thrown into the deep end a bit. And I know even the last number of years, there's a bit of an emphasis, I suppose, in the general. It looks like, at least in the media, that there's always this heavy duty towards building lots of size, and some of the northern teams getting a bit heavy duty and stuff. And it can be challenging, but... I think the main priority, really, like you mentioned there, is just building the good habits in those younger players from the word go. And then when we talk more about the nutrition, the same, just building those good habits from the ground
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
It just makes such a huge difference to it. Now, we can move a little more towards nutrition now. And was there a particular reason, be it from your younger days or even through your career as an athlete, that you're more interested in nutrition and you just kind of wanted to push towards it? Or was it your kind of time in the clinical setting that has really reinforced your emphasis for it and your interest in it? Could you speak a little bit about where the nutrition kind of came out of? Our
yeah, so it was kind of a weird one, because we were picking our final year projects when I was doing my undergrad.
Yeah.
And I always kind of took to the sports nutrition when we were doing the modules. Really liked it. It was just something that kind of... it stuck with me fairly easily, and just, it's something you do every day. Like, it's a, you eat every 2 or 3 hours. It's a basic need.
Yeah.
So, and I just got more and more interested in it. And as I started taking it on board, putting it towards my own performance, I'd seen the benefits of it. So when we were doing our final year projects, I said I wanted a sports nutrition title. So went with that and did my thesis on it. Loved it. I was doing, I was on pre-exercise meals. It was just two different ones, with fat against carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, really, really liked it. So when I came out of college then, when I went playing with Galway, so I was just focusing on Galway, and just training as much as I could. And then after a while, I was like, right, where do I actually want to go with my career? What did I really like in college?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one thing, as time went on, like, you know, it started, like, Instagram was a great thing
yeah.
for a lot of things. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was one of the things that started really popping up, was, like, you know, meals and everything like that. And then the likes of Food Flicker, Daniel Davey.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's been absolutely brilliant. So when he started off 2 or 3 years ago, he was putting up good, easy meals to make.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing them, and then got on to Maeve. And just from there, went in with her.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it just started spiraling. That I loved how much... something so basic can help you so much. Yeah. That, like, you know, a consistent behavior with it and the variety you can get, how much each one can help you.
Yeah.
So, and like, how much, if you're eating well, like, I can prevent, so like, reduce the chances of so many illnesses and sicknesses and mm-hmm. performance side of it, how yeah. beneficial it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went from there and then applied up to the north, up in Ulster University. Mm-hmm. And there's a niche centre up there, so it's the nutrition centre. It's one of the highest ones in mm-hmm. the UK.
Nice.
So, like, they're very hands-on up there, so it was a brilliant place to learn it. And from there, like, I'd say in the last 18 months now, since when I knew I was going up, that's mm-hmm. when I really started going heavy duty into the reading and everything like mm-hmm. that, and then into the podcast. And then when I was up there, I was loving the material I was getting.
Yeah.
And then I was training a lot. Like, I would have been one, as I was saying, to break down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I got through a whole pre-season. I was training up there with the team up there,
mm-hmm.
Owen Rua, and training with the college. So I was constantly, once I finished the club the next week, I was doing my slog again.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, right, this is going to be a new challenge for me. Can I get through it without breaking down? I usually would take a 4 or 5 week break, get myself set again.
Mm-hmm.
Went through it, but I was like, I'm going to put a big emphasis on my food now. Yeah. Like, so what am I having the day of training? What am I having the day after training? What am I having 45 minutes after training?
Mm-hmm.
And all that, and the lead up to it. And I swear by it, like, that I was recovering so much quicker. I was one, like, I'd be a heavy sweater on a pitch, mm-hmm. so I'd cramp a lot and I'd say break down. That's where I was getting a lot of injuries the last few minutes of games.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, since I got, like, say, my hydration right, my, say, halftime diorolites in, everything like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm seeing the benefits so much. My carb loading the day before it, I'm getting so much more out of the end of games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, I'm contributing so much more now, and I'm not breaking down, and mm-hmm. I'm recovering a lot quicker. Like, for the first time, like, this year, I think I only missed 2 weeks, which was unheard of for me. Oh, and that was through 2 years of training. Brilliant. As well. So from that, like, it all just started from 2014, picking a final year project title and just kept going from there. And you know, you're constantly trying new things, trying new dishes, everything mm-hmm. like that. And you're seeing how much it's getting more and more traction anyway.
Yeah.
And rightly so, because of how important it actually is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's fantastic. And it's really interesting I know the whole Instagram and the whole social media kind of element to it does sometimes have a kind of darker note, but I think on the whole, it's definitely 51-49 at least.
Yeah.
It's definitely much more positive, and there's so much more great stuff coming from it, and the likes of Daniel and Foo Flicker, all of those kind of things, so good for younger athletes and even more mature athletes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who do need to kind of get back up to it. They might be kind of going through a bit of a rut or something like that, but it's amazing to the difference it can make, half a season or something like that, or even a couple of months, and kind of getting you back organized.
Oh, absolutely, definitely.
It's a huge thing. Like, is there, and I suppose we'll get much more kind of detailed now, nearly to an extent. Is there any big common themes? I know there's a lot of, we have a significant obesity issue going on. We have a lot of, I suppose, body image issues going on, be it with young men and young women, both alike. But have you seen any particular issues that worry you the most, and you think we can address the kind of quickest, nearly, to try and make life a little bit easier for the younger athletes? I suppose we'd specify it towards the younger athletes, maybe, to begin with.
Yeah, so I think the main thing, and it's my kind of philosophy, eat for health. Main thing is, so, like, health looks completely different on everyone. Health isn't, someone can be completely thin and not healthy. Someone can be a small bit, like, on the overweight side, but be healthy. Like, their bloods can show perfectly that they're healthy. But it's that, like, the Instagram thing, while it is brilliant, like, and it depends on what you're looking for. If you can get right direction to the right people, like, I think it's brilliant for getting to the right people. But there is also that negative side of it, where people are portrayed as a certain thing, and the social anxiety of trying to live up to that.
Mm-hmm.
For youth athletes, I would say, and try and stay away from that as much, and just try and eat for health.
Mm-hmm.
So a variety of different types of foods, and try and get them in. Don't be worrying about body image per se.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat for health and start getting in, like, another thing is carbohydrates for men and women.
Absolutely.
It seems to be just the one thing that everyone is against. Yeah. Even elite athletes, which is their fuel. It's the only fuel you can have for high intensity exercise. And it's just something that they feel that carbs are the reason I'm getting fat, yeah, or it's going to put fat on me, mm-hmm, and I'm not going to have the body image. But then you end up breaking down and you're not getting your gut health from the good carbohydrates, the good fiber you're getting from it. And you have to look at it that side as well. So I'd say trying to banish those myths,
yeah,
of the carbohydrate thing, that's not the reason it's causing, mm-hmm, your gain. You could eat too much vegetables, too much fruit. If you're in a calorie surplus, mm-hmm, you're going to gain weight. You could eat one Mars bar a day, yeah, and you'll lose weight, like, easily, you're in a calorie deficit. Exactly, yeah. So what I'd be trying to say is, like, sticking to the basics, mm-hmm, pretty much, like, so the carbs aren't bad. It depends on what your whole all-around meals are, mm-hmm, your whole all-around diet is, yeah, and the Instagram side of things. The people who are there on Instagram, who are looking in great shape and everything like that, they're probably not even that healthy.
Yeah.
So absolutely, it's trying to eat for your health and trying to get a whole variety and trying to banish the myths of, like, the main one it always is carbs are bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. I think that, like, it's an interesting one, and I think you're in an interesting place, because you're dealing with kind of local clubs and then also with the kind of higher level intercounty kind of an arena, which is very, very high quality. Coaches surrounding it and very good level athletes, and no disrespect to the clubs, but you're going to probably have a little bit more of the regular person kind of playing along and more regular club players kind of involved. I suppose when it comes towards the elite kind of players on now, so we spoke a little bit about, like, just eating for general health, and I think that's a no-brainer for the elite athlete as well. But I think like you mentioned there, the elite athlete can still be kind of overlooking that,
yeah,
and focusing nearly on eating for performance on a much more regular basis than, yeah, they probably need to, when they could just be focusing a bit of health and actually
yeah,
add a bit here and there of performance eating nearly, because they might have lost a couple of those bits and pieces for the eating for health. So that's where they're maybe breaking down a bit or a bit erratic in their performance. But would you have any particular recommendations or interesting kind of things that Maeve would have helped you out with and kind of given you some ideas on, of, like you mentioned about the halftime diuretics or something like that, yeah, or your post workouts, or even your the day before kind of carbo and stuff, yeah, like that. Is there a couple of things that you think for the elite athlete or the up and coming elite athlete who is eating quite well and has a good kind of balance on that? Is there that little bit more that they can start focusing on, even if it's something like creatine to a good kind of consistent, yeah, level, or not necessarily pre-workouts or something like that, but is there a couple of things you can kind of recommend that you think, okay, this I've seen this working pretty well with a lot of good high level athletes?
Oh, definitely, yes. So definitely trying to hit the basics anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Maeve is, like, it's so simple and effective, mm-hmm, with how she does it.
Yeah.
And it's hitting the basics. So your hydration. So they're regularly hydrated, like doing testing on them. Yeah. So you have to be hydrated going, mm-hmm, out. So making sure that, like, that you're well hydrated with water coming in, having a diuretic before you go out. Totem Sport is a brilliant company that's coming, yeah, through. And I 100% swear by them as well. I've used it myself. They're a great new electrolyte coming out that's been used for 3 or 4 years now with the Galway senior hurlers, and all the lads would swear by them. So that would be another great one if it's used very well. If you can get the basics of your hydration right first and then only using totems then, yeah, and diuretics when, like, just before the start of a match, mm-hmm, halftime in a match, and then at the end of a match. Yeah. A diuretic, I'd be saying have that just at half time and maybe, mm-hmm, at the end just for your gut. Just, yeah, you might get a bit of bloating, exactly, sometimes, yeah, like, so it's training it in, it's getting used to it in trainings.
Yeah.
Other things then is, again, back to the carbs, don't, yeah, be afraid of carbs, you need them, they're your fuel. Mm-hmm. You have to be constantly taking them in. The days you're training, you're getting in, every meal has to be a carb based meal. Mm-hmm. Day before a game, you're getting in carb based meals, building up those stores, because you're going, mm-hmm, you're going to need a high amount of stores going into a game. You're going to be all I don't know how to put it, like, there's going to be nerves coming into a game, so, yeah, you're going to be burning off, so you need to have good stores going into it.
Anxiety going on.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So you need to have those stores built up before you go into a game. So that's the big thing, just saying to lads, don't be afraid of it, get it into you, you're going to use it,
yeah,
and you need it for the games you're going to be going, mm-hmm, into. So that'll be another one, is just don't be afraid of the carbs. Yeah. And definitely the big thing that we promote, like that creatine coming into the, like it's so much research on it. Yeah. Like it's been well banished now. Absolutely, of all the bad, like negative side effects to it that were put out there. It's brilliant for recovery, brilliant for your high intensity exercise that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're coming into the season and using it in your power exercises, it's absolutely perfect. And it's a brilliant resource to have. But the main one that I found now is, say, from a pint of milk just after training, the 30 minutes afterwards, it has absolutely everything in it. Like, I'm not going against, like, I use protein shakes myself.
Completely.
And they're a brilliant thing to have if you need them.
Yeah, they're essentially not a million miles away.
Pint of semi-skim milk after training is the perfect thing that you can have, especially even when before you go to bed, because it'll be a slow release of protein throughout the night. You're maintaining your lean muscle mass and it's helping you recover. So definitely from the totem, people start trying that and using that. I think it's a great product and it should be used. And so you're using it. The protocol to it is just before you go for the game, half time, and just after it. Diorolite, then I'd be saying half time and at the end of the game. If you have a totem taken, there's no need to take a diorolite at the end of the game. Then carbohydrates, not being afraid of them, making sure to get them in. You need those stores for big games. For any game even. And then on the side of the milk side of it, big thing coming in semi-skim milk, it's huge, like, and it's so simple to have as well, like, and has every vitamin and mineral you need just to recover you. And it was a good talk that was out in the nutrition conference before I finished up my master's. If you can get in fructose with it, so if you can make so that's just fruit sugars, so if you can make a smoothie, so a mixed berry smoothie with some semi-skim milk, blend it together, you can put a bit of whey protein on top of it. When you're going to bed after a training or some of that, it doesn't sit in your stomach. It's rehydrating you. It's getting everything you need and it's recovering you. So it's something I've been using a lot and definitely have found the benefits of it. Been recovering a lot quicker.
I think that's, like, it's really interesting. I go along with you on a lot of that, absolutely, and all of that nearly. I think the challenge can be, and I suppose depending on who's who we have listening, really, and who is kind of going towards, it's interesting because we'll have a big mixture of people that would be interested in it. But I think going back to the demands of the particular sport, be it hurling or Gaelic football, and in our own kind of, my own kind of sport, I suppose, the CrossFit kind of realm, or I would say it's very much a kind of a, I suppose, a skill endurance kind of a game, nearly, to an extent, and not a million miles away from hurling and football to an extent. Now, obviously, there's a good amount of power needed in the whole lot, but
again, bodies are breaking down the same kind of way.
There's the game may be different, fine, but the body isn't massively different. And the reactions to those type of activities makes a big difference. It's always quite similar, no matter what we're at, and if it's a power clean or if it's a shoulder, I'm still going to have some impact going on. I'm still going to have heavy triple extension. I'm going to have impact on my hamstrings. Like, I'm going to have all of these. The inside of the body doesn't really give a damn.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't know what's going on outside it. But if it's getting hit, it's going to react
exactly
in similar ways.
And if it doesn't have a significant amount of available carbs to play with, then it's going to underperform. It's not going to have the same situation. But one of the things, I suppose, that's an interesting one is rather than the I suppose the nutrition protocols, is there any particular things you've seen over the last while, other than the activation, I suppose, that within a team setting that you think are really interesting for teams, for maybe, I suppose, kind of smaller teams rather than the elite? So we'd say the likes of the higher level teams that you're working with now. So you'll have yourself, and you'll have Maeve, and you'll have a good amount of other support staff to play with there. But within some of the other clubs and smaller clubs who may not have that access, or maybe are individual athletes who are just kind of staying kind of on the ball with them, they're like, look, I'll use a bit of diorolite now and I'll try and have that smoothie, all right?
Yeah.
But like, I'm not sure how exactly, like, I'll try and fit it all in. And I think those are fantastic ways of definitely fitting it in. But then on, and we were talking a little bit about this earlier on, it's... on a training kind of an element to it, would it just be some kind of mass running, or would it just be making sure there's a good balance in your gym work that the kind of club player can work towards and really improve on, rather than just the without the sport structure that they may have.
Yeah.
Is there other areas of the S&C that they could work on, do you think, that you might have seen?
Yes.
Or that could be brought from the higher level,
so like
ethos, nearly towards the kind of regular club player?
So it's just trying to get a consistency more so than anything. I think that's what kind of separates the lads. Like, everyone's human at the end of the day, and the lads are elite athletes. They're brilliant. They're so easy to work with because they just take everything on board. They want to get those 1%ers. Like, that's what they're aiming for. That's where they're at this stage. And like Anthony says to them, they're like, yeah, perfect. I'll do it. Like, yeah. But they're constantly doing it. They've built up those behaviors. It doesn't happen by accident for them. So that's what I'd be saying. Like, it's not really an answer to it. But like, to be consistently just training, and like, even when you're in your off season, that you're constantly doing something, working on something different. Like, for my end of it, what I picked up big time from when I was playing was, in my off seasons, all right, I have to keep up my cardio side of stuff, because that's going to be the hardest bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to be going out, like, as I was saying to you before, I'm grand running after football or doing hit sessions like sprints, but
5-10 Ks,
it's not
necessary.
So I prefer getting onto an assault bike, a rower, and really getting a hit session and a Tabata session, 20 on, 10 off, and really hitting the body. And if you're done in 10, 15 minutes, and maybe do that 2 or 3 times a week. And I thought I was, all right, I'm one of the only ones doing it. But then you go into a gym or you go into Loch George, and there's 15, 20 lads that are doing it all Christmas as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that side of it, like, you have to be consistent. And that's the main thing, like, you know, there's no magic formula to it. Like, you have to be consistent and working on that side of it all the time. Yeah. And especially because the cardio side of it is the one bit everyone fears the most. Yeah. If you can keep a decent base, which the lads are always doing, and they're great for it. Like, and they're nonstop, especially the hurlers who are they're playing year round all the time.
Yeah.
And they're able to just do this. They're just so driven.
They're serious pieces of our courage. Yeah.
So like, that's all I'd be saying. Like, there's no major thing that they're doing, it's just they're keeping themselves going all the time, because they know, if I let myself go, there's going to be someone else coming in.
Yeah.
For the club player, if you're doing that, you're going to throw yourself up way up in the pecking order if you're doing that, because that's one of the main things that you're looked at.
Yeah.
And if you can start a season off right, you're getting good confidence, and it'll go from there.
Yeah. And I think that you touched on a point there towards the back end of that, especially like that, if you are a fairly good club player, you're trying to make that breakthrough, it's the managers and the support team and the coaches are all going to look at those trials, and they're going to go, okay, well, is this lad, like, or is this girl fairly consistent, and have they got nice consistent kind of habits going on? Do they have a regularity to their play and regularity to their training that they are turning up in good nick post-season or whatever it is they're maintaining all the time? I think that's very, very helpful for that. But for someone like a kind of club player or an individual athlete, if it's a runner or whatever it is, but they're trying to keep that consistent mentality and drive throughout the year, rather than just making it a very seasonal type of a sport in your own head, you have to make it like, this is a long game.
Yeah.
It's a much bigger, it's a year round game. If I want to get to where I want to go, I have to make it a year round kind of game.
And you have to be consistent with it as well. Like, and that's just the way it is. And like, it's a long term approach that you're looking at. You're not looking at you're not looking at the short term. Mm-hmm. Like, it's great to have short term goals, something to aim at, like, be it body fat, be it fitness tests or something like that. Like, you know, they're great little markers, things to tick off, but your long-term goal, where do you want to be in a year, two, three years time?
Yeah.
So, but that's only going to come with consistency, because you'll find that if you're constantly consistent, other people will fall off.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fall off, other lads are coming up as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's dog-eat-dog times, exactly. So you have to be on the ball. So we'll move a little bit more to back towards the nutrition. And nearly, like, you're doing a lot of workshops, and like you mentioned at the start, you have everybody and anybody kind of getting stuck into the new year, new you kind of thing. And so everybody wants getting stuck in. But was there, with your time in the clinical setting with people who would be on the other end of the spectrum from the high performance athletes, I know we're all kind of like, okay, well, I should maybe eat a little bit less snacks at night, or I should maybe make sure I have some protein in the morning or whatever it is. But I suppose for not necessarily, I'm sure you dealt with all kinds of people and all kinds of different issues going on, be it illnesses or just general obesity or underweight or whatever it is, and there's lots of different things going on. Was there a particular couple of different things that you found that are just such a good, strong intervention? Is it just the habits that people are building over time, steadily but surely? I kind of read a great book lately, actually, Atomic Habits and James Clear, just those little bits all the time. Or is there some certain things that we, even as coaches, now need to be kind of going, okay, look, this needs to be put in place. Like, we can't just throw something online and go, right, I'm going to build your program and just kind of chuck it out to you. Like, it's a nice little meal plan and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
Come back in 6 weeks and we'll sort you out kind of thing. Like, it needs to be a bit more detailed. Was that something that you would have found more beneficial for those people?
Yes.
More detailed kind of answers?
So, like, I think nutrition and even S&C, everything, it's so much more than that now. It's a whole lifestyle thing. Like, some people just need to talk to you. Like, sometimes you can become a psychologist with it.
Absolutely.
The whole thing. And, like, you have to, everyone has to have a why.
Mm-hmm.
So, why do you actually want to do it? Why I do it, why I keep myself eating clean and eating well majority of the time, train as hard as I can majority of the time, is because I know how good I feel after and how functional I am. You're probably the exact same as well. Like, but some people, like, and I'm looking at others going, how can everyone not do this? But, like, people are different. Like, you know, they maybe went through bad habits. And I did a workshop recently over at Rahum, and I was, you know, I went in, did the talk with them, and it was with the parents and with players. And, you know, I went to Aldi beforehand and I had €50 worth of stuff on the table, all the different options you can have. But I was looking at it, and I was just thinking, I was like, 3 or 4 years ago, that table was completely different. So, and someone asked me, how quick should you be seeing the changes if I start eating all this? And I go, well, there's no point in you going buying all this and eating it, and then in 6 weeks' time, it not being used, or else you going back to the old habits. So, my big thing is slow and steady kind of a thing. Like, you know,
it's not a pretty one, but it's not.
And I think once you get that to them and say, look, what's your long-term goal? Can you sustain this diet that you want to be doing? If you say, right, I don't think I can sustain this, then we have to do a small bit of a tweak. You have to have that why as well. So you're kind of, I think the one-to-one is the main thing. I could never get into the online side of it. I just don't think it's an effective way of doing it. I think I need to sit down, chat one-to-one. And you have to figure out, do they actually want to do it? Why do they want to do it? And then it's the small changes. Like, it can be going from white bread to brown bread, white rice to brown rice. Like, I'm saying those because they're higher fiber foods, they're a lower GI, they're like, it's a slower release. And they could be something that might end up going to the higher protein, to, like, say, if we change from saturated fats, greasy foods, to polyunsaturated, which are like your fish, your oily fish, your nuts, your seeds. So much research on that. Can we do them small changes? And can they start seeing the positive effects that they're having on it? So if you can start getting those small little changes, that's what happened. That's what I did. That's what changed for me, was small little changes and just trying to get variety. Then completely, like, you know, we all know exactly what we have to do. We all know junk food's bad for us. We all know fruit is good for us. But we keep making the opposite
we
choice.
We always go there,
But like, it is a difficult one, but I think it's just trying to have that consistency. And like, I think it's important that people have the right support behind them as well, be it a nutritionist, as an S&C coach, or even just a friend doing it with them. They're staying together with it and not getting too bogged down with it. You can have your off days with it, but let it just be an off day. Take it day by day. And like, if you hit a stumbling block, you hit a stumbling block. And just, or we'll get over it, we'll go on to the next day again, and we'll start again. But if you can mix definitely nutrition and just small bit of exercise, the stuff we know, the exercise intervention and good whole foods, like, they're the main things. There's no magic pill to it. It's the exact same as it always was. That's the healthiest way.
I completely agree. I think it's I think the knowledge that to make those changes is out there. It's always out there, and we're always finding out more and more new things of ways that we can improve our quality of nutrition. But I think that's what's always missing. I think that's one of the reasons why I like the kind of CrossFit-y kind of thing. And I keep raving about it all the time. And I keep I keep trying to nearly drift away from it because I'm like, no, I can't, I must be too into it. And I'm like, no, but I think it's that community and it's that support structure in both the high performance, and I'm looking at a lot of interesting kind of high performing teams lately, and I'm like, man, that is that the absolute key, like, to it.
Yeah.
Because that makes everything else, we can put all the different structures in place once we have that, but if we have people talking and we have people actually growing in the same direction, we're straight away miles ahead of the...
And that's what makes it so much, is having that support structure together, that you're doing it like, that you're doing it well together, or you're maybe falling a bit together, someone's helping you back up with it, because that's the way it has to be. And it's just going through the challenges, knowing it's going to be a hard one. If you know starting off that it's going to be a longer journey, and you say, look, where do I want to be in 12 months?
Mm.
If you lose a small bit each month,
yeah,
by the end of it, you're going to be in such better shape. Yeah. Like, so it's just looking at that. We know how quick the year goes as well.
Yeah. And I think that's it. Like, it's interesting now, I suppose, just another thought on that. But if you're someone who's under significant pressure and you may have a lot of work to do on your nutrition, your health, your activity levels, something like Operation Transformation or the Parkrun or whatever it is, some of these nice big events which have a lot of other people in the same positive mentality, and they're all building those good habits as well. So the quicker you can get involved in that kind of an area, the better. Because a lot of the time it can be, okay, I just need to get myself a PT, or I need to get myself a dietitian, and I need to just make sure it's all about me. And you're like, well, are we going to have that much willpower to sustain that all the time, when if we could just get some people involved and get our friends involved and just get a good community involved, it makes it a lot easier to be able to sustain those things and build those relationships, which means, yeah, my buddy's going, well, how's that pizza going, dude? And I'm like, well, thanks for letting me know. Or whatever it is. But I think having access to those type of activities means that you're keeping that consistency up much more.
And that's the end goal. It's like, if you're doing that and you know you can do that till the end of the year, for next year, the year after, there's no point in you going, I'm going to do 5 classes of this, 6 classes, I'm going to do it for 8 weeks. And then the end of the 8 weeks, you're back, you take 2 months off and you're back to square one, and then you're starting it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point to that. Like, you know, it's not healthy for you, because then your body's all out of kilter as well. Definitely, like, having that, something that you can do, like the operation transformations are brilliant. Yeah. They're absolutely brilliant. Yeah. And it's a great sports structure within itself. Like, and it should, like, people should start getting more involved in that. Like, they're brilliant things, simple things like that. And hopefully they do. Like, it's just, January is a tough month. Like, and you know yourself, like, people are like, and even myself, I've people coming to me all the time now, February, like, there's going to be
there'll be different talk conversations.
I'll be sitting at home. But like, you're just hoping that people do start getting more and more, and that even if you can help one or two people, that's brilliant. Like, Joe, and that's the satisfying thing. That's the reason why I wanted to do it, was because to try and help people. I know how good it makes me feel, but obviously as well, there is a side of it, each family is different, each has their own kind of social background, and they have their own issues to deal with as well, so it can be harder for others. But there's a majority of us that can do a lot more, and we know the answers already. But it's just trying to get that long term and going into something like that you can sustain.
But I think that's exactly right. When we do have a lot of people who are under pressure, potentially in family situations or whatever it is, and in relation to sport, it's quite difficult. Like, I deal with a lot of kids all the time, and we'll see, not on a very regular basis now, so I wouldn't see them every single day, but a couple of times a week. And if there's ever any kind of summer camps going on or anything like that, there can just be the very basic kind of sandwiches that can be the crisps straight away and a whole lot. And for younger kind of people, it can be quite difficult. But I think, again, the parents are the key to a lot of this. And I don't know, could you, kind of going off a little bit off topic here, but was there, in your own family, was there a particular emphasis on, like, okay, we're going to push towards athleticism, or we're going to push a bit more towards, like, really, really good eating, or is it very much island life and then more Galway kind of life?
Well, there's completely different people than me on the island, I'll tell you that much, so, but no, it's, like, you know, I was, like, any other kid, and all my friends are the exact same, like, you know, but it was just, I think like I'm 24 and I'm sounding old, but it's like, as in the whole way it's changed now, like, you know, people aren't, kids aren't outside the whole time. There's a lot more indoors, TVs, everything like that. Like, and that's fine. So, like, social media is brilliant. Like, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for technology either. Like,
but even, but like you mentioned, 10, 15 years ago, it's a very different ball game completely.
Oh, like you're throwing yourself into everything. Like, I was, I was cycling around the island. I was swimming all the time. I was playing football with each team out in Headford. And that was the same with every kid, like, you know, I think that's kind of stopping. Like, there's still a lot of people doing it, but there's still easier options now than there was.
Yeah.
I think at the sports side of stuff, I think we have to stop, like, I see it in my own club, but after games, like, you go upstairs and there's a pizza upstairs, and I'm kind of tearing my hair out. Like, you know, but, like, I don't want to be saying anything because there's a social aspect to it as well. Yeah. But that kind of... We can still have the social aspect, but can we not, like, you know, get a good recovery? Or, like, you know, can we not... Do you want kids who are struggling with obesity, can we not at cool camps or like sports camps have just water and fruit or something like that? Like, you know, they're gonna have bad food anyway.
Yeah.
But where we can control it, can we not control it a bit better?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one there, because I do think there's a bit of a generational issue to it. And I suppose just a mindset kind of thing, but I think a lot of it is, and you can come from my own parents, and I'm sure your own parents to an extent as well, but in all of our families. Being very Irish, like, we're still a small island in Europe, an island, a small island to an extent. But I think it can be difficult because we would, and have played myself, we would have done the same. There would have been, maybe not the pizza, but there would have been not the best quality of food afterwards or the surroundings of it. And I think that's because the old ways were kind of just tipping around with the volunteerism and all the time. That kind of kicks around. But I think it behooves us now, as we're the kind of next generation nearly, to kind of go, well, look, we're going to be running these kind of clubs, and we're going to be organizing all this, we're going to be helping all these kids and coaching all these, so we can actually put those things in place now. And if we don't do it, then we're gonna screw another generation.
And we have a different set of challenges again, completely, like, you know. So like, we have, well, it's brilliant, the technology side of stuff, but we have that challenge of, we're fighting against that, like, so can we try and do our best while they're doing it down at a sports club? Like, you know, you're going to have ones that are going to choose a different lifestyle to sport. It's just nature of life.
Yeah.
So, but can we not do better? That's all I'd be saying. That'd be my main thing. Yeah. And like, that's what I'm trying to say down the club as well. Can we not just try and do a small bit better, like, you know, and try and reduce the chances of... Because, like, if a kid's doing it down when they're playing sport and they're building up those habits, they feel like after each sport thing, this is what I'm supposed to be having. And they're just not getting the nutrients in, and then the body starts breaking down as they get older. They're still doing it, they get an injury, and then that's where dropout starts.
Exactly. I think that's one of the difficult things when it comes to, and looking a lot at even the, I suppose, not necessarily the drop-offs of soccer, but even in the media, a lot of issues recently in the last number of years with the younger kind of teenagers going over to England and not getting as much success, so kind of just getting lost in the wilderness a little bit of it, and then trying to come back and maybe not as big good as structures potentially, and just getting kind of wound into lots of challenging situations. But I think that's one of the interesting parts about the likes of the GA, because there's nowhere to go out far, so to speak. Like, so it hits home quite well. But I think that's where we can be difficult as Irish people. We take that to heart and kind of go, flipping, we'll do it better next time, kind of thing, whatever it is. And it can be difficult, because I think it's up to all of us to just kind of look, we can try and add a little more, but like you mentioned there, we can't force it down people's throats. We have to kind of go, look, gently and just try and build consistent persuasion and do our bit to
definitely get there. Like, no, and like, you want to do something that you wish was done for you.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing, like, you know, and that's the way I'd look at it, as much as I can, like, you know. And like, you're not going to change the world or anything like that, but can you change your small environment that you're in? Like, so is it the S&C side, is it the nutrition side of it? So like, when I first came out, I was kind of fearing, you know, doing the talks and everything like that, like, and maybe saying stuff to, you know, you have kind of an imposter syndrome with nutrition. Always, definitely. And but now, like, you know, as more working with Maeve, the more confidence she's given me, she's saying, getting out there, like, you know, helping as much as you can, like, you know. If I don't end up, like, I've applied to do dietetics again, if I don't end up there, I still want to prevent as many, like, or reduce the amount of people that are going to have to go to hospitals to get invasive treatments.
Yeah.
there's so much stuff you can do beforehand, like, you know, with consistencies. Mm-hmm. Like, you build up your behaviors from a young age.
Yeah.
So can you try and prevent that as much as you can? Mm-hmm. Like, someone who's who's obese or overweight at an adolescent age is more than likely going to be the same way when they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, yeah. Like so. And that's where the issues come. Like, mm-hmm. we look at the short term and think, oh, I'm not getting any issues here.
Yeah.
But they're not looking 20, 30 years on the line when mm-hmm. it's high blood pressure, heart attacks, kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. where we have to start. That message has to start coming out. Like, yeah. you know, and not everyone's going to follow it.
No, no.
But if you have the knowledge to mm-hmm. try and do it and try and help people, why not? You yeah. try and do your best mm-hmm. for it. And that's all you can do.
Yeah. And I think that's, like, it's a really interesting point. But because, and going back to what you mentioned earlier on, just the priority towards eating for health
yeah.
rather than, and even from a performance standpoint, the goal really is longevity, healthy longevity.
Definitely.
Not just longevity, not 105.
No, kind no, of, no.
In a,
you
in,
want a healthy, in, functional in, life.
Exactly. And that's where I think the, I suppose we are seeing a bit more of the kind of older generation now in a healthier situation. Yeah. And no doubt it's going to continue to, further on even more, and we're going to get a little bit older and the life expectancy is going to continue to get further on. But I think that's where the challenge can be, is especially for the mentality is great, I think, is for both the regular Joe or Joan or whoever she is, whoever they are, as well as the high performance athlete, because I think the high performance athlete nearly can be a little bit more at risk sometimes on that.
Oh, definitely.
Because if there is particular injuries or something like that, or something goes on in their career and they get caught, or post career anyways, no matter what, we've all seen it in our own clubs and stuff like that, that things can go in a very different direction. So it's a good way to look at it, as that eating for health and just building
consistency. Unfortunately, because our game is so good, like
yeah.
and everything else, it's an amateur game played by professionals.
Yeah.
And they go away, or they go away footballers.
It is at this stage.
Yeah, definitely.
It just is, like.
But like, the worst thing about it is they have to be doing stuff at such a high level, and they're in such a bubble that when the season does end,
mm-hmm.
they actually go into bad habits then. So that's not good for the body either.
No.
There seems to be kind of a structural change, the way that they can socialize or live their lives a bit better, a bit more healthily. Like the,
yeah.
But you can see, hopefully it doesn't happen that when the season ends, like for 3 months, 3 or 4 months, they're not living healthily, and
yeah.
they come back and they do 9 months. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, when their season ends for good,
yeah,
and they're retired, that mm-hmm. it's not a lifelong
yeah.
change, that they're going to be bad habits all the way through. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, now I have my chance to kind of
yeah.
go. Because you don't want that to be seen, and that's why I'd always, even with the Galway Hurlers,
yeah.
as much as I'm trying to get to know them a bit more, like I'm not saying too much at the moment, doing small bits with them, but the younger lads kind of coming through. The more and more they're chatting, I'm just like, look, lads, eat for health. Try and build the basics that when you finish, that you're still eating the same way as when you were playing.
Mm-hmm. It's very consolidated.
Yeah, definitely. Because while like people are, there's a lot of people getting healthier. There's a lot more people who are. It's going the opposite way as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's just you don't want to see that with, and you see it with soccer, former soccer
yeah.
players as well. Like not being able to deal with finishing, like, you know, in mm-hmm. such a bubble, and then like, you know, not knowing how to deal with it. So mm-hmm. I think. They, if you can just get them eating for health as much as possible,
yeah.
It'll help with longevity and mm. longevity, a healthy life, that you've all that energy you're able to do
yeah.
the normal things that you want to be doing into a later stage of your life.
I absolutely agree. I think it's, and that's for me, I think, and we mentioned a little bit earlier on about the quality of coaches that are involved in certain teams and clubs these days, and just such strong structures and such excellent coaches. That are being built into that structure. I think that's one of the things when you have those really, really, and I'm always kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place when it comes to players who are retired players coming back in as coaches.
Yeah.
Like soccer does it all
yeah.
flipping time. Just come back in, like, oh, you played loads,
yeah.
come back in,
you know,
and you don't
yeah.
have Scooby-Doo what's
yeah.
going on, but like, well, you have a good name.
Yeah.
But I think what is different in the, with the likes of the GA, which is quite interesting, is you'll have really, really strong, good habits, and you'll have a good awareness of the actual activities to build a very good athlete, and a lot of the challenges that would have occurred as an athlete. So you'll have a good perspective as a coach later on. I think with not necessarily with soccer, but I think some of the, sometimes it looks like, in our own media's eyes, it can look like, because soccer is such a high level, or at least it's such a famous sport, so to speak, and so much money is involved in the whole lot, that there can be a much bigger bubble there. But I think when it comes back to the something like the county team, or if it is club teams, there's a bit more of a closer to home kind of feel, and people will know who's involved. They'll know what kind of challenges. I did my coach, I did this such and such, and had this issue going on, and I know such and such's family had this trouble. So I know what the issues are, because I went through the same things myself. So they can be very beneficial to keep involved in the club and keep that consistent, I suppose, healthy relationship with the game, rather than just kind of switching off and hitting the drink or going a bit mad, absolutely, or whatever it is. And it can be a difficult one. But I think before we kind of finish up, I have an interesting one before we kind of finish it towards the back end. But if you were to come into a club now, just like if you've come into a couple of different clubs, but we'll say hypothetically, one that does have a good kind of structure, they have a nice setup going on, they've got a good, some good coaches, and they've got a nice kind of youngish, I suppose, environment going on. Is there a couple of things, is there anything in particular on the S&C kind of front that you'd be like, okay, look, I think this is an important part to kind of go towards, even not necessarily mention any of the teams, but is there anything that you're really looking forward to implementing in those teams yourself, S&C wise, at the moment?
S&C wise, definitely, it's the periodization, definitely. I think that's a miss with a lot of club teams. Like, you need to set out your stall early on, you know your fixtures as best as you can. They all change, but you know when your main competitions are.
Yeah.
I think they have, like, that'll be the main thing whenever I do get involved, and it's one thing that I'll always definitely put in, is either it be 4 week blocks, 6 week blocks, having your tapers, everything like that.
Yeah.
That you're properly progressing an athlete, that you know what I'm doing in this 6 weeks is going to be high volume running to get them back into their aerobic stage.
Yeah.
We're coming into, say, the early league stages, we're down into speed endurance. We're down to just getting into anaerobic then, and then coming into championship, we're hitting that speed then, we're hitting like bang, 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 power. And then knowing, all right, because of the way the GA is, there's a fall off then, knowing then, all right, we need to take it down and, like, you know, keep kind of ticking over again until we can peak again, like, and letting them have that taper of 2 weeks to come down again. So that'll be the main thing. It's something, unfortunately, in the GA, the way it's ran, you just don't know when games are. They keep changing, and that's, it's no fault of anyone really, like, you know, but I think coaches, you can do a bit better with it, like, you know, and, like, utilize the S&C coach. He's not just there to make a guy big and strong. Yeah. He's not, like, he's there to periodize your training, and that's that'll be the main one thing when I'm coming into any team, is what I want to be doing, and trying to get advice from as many people as I can, because, like, no one knows everything.
Yeah.
But one, and then one big thing, I kind of off the S&C side of it, was I read a book recently, as Carver Framework Project from Paul Clegane.
I've actually got it in.
It's absolutely
brilliant.
So Paul, it's all for youth. It's for youth coaches, but it's applicable to all adults as well.
Yeah.
Because everything he's saying is just on the money. Like, it's saying a fella's name when he's coming into training.
Yeah.
Because then you're building a connection straight away, and involving them in it, and you'll learn more rather than telling them. Like, this, these people, like, you know, coaches come in, or trainers, and they're showing you everything up, like, you know, up on a board or in a drill, and you haven't a clue what's going on. But involve them, and they'll know, and stuff like that. So, but that can be used for youth coaches, and then for top end coaches as well. Definitely for athletes as well. And I'd be 100% on both, definitely periodization, and then utilizing that book as much as you can for both youth and for adults.
I think that's really interesting though as well, because I think that's one of the biggest challenges when you have either a club or you have a kind of a county team or whatever it is, and any of those groups, they need that cohesion, and they need full use of all of the support staff within it. So use the the people that are involved in it as much as possible. And I'm sure it harks back to the kind of olden days a little bit, of every club would want to win, so they'd make sure the best players are always playing for, even if it's not necessarily not that every game isn't important to an extent, but every game isn't as important as some other games to an extent. So you'd have to manage it a little bit and make sure that you have fresh players coming in. And especially I think nowadays, because there's such an emphasis towards substitutions and such an emphasis towards having a very healthy group involved, that you could easily pop in and fill a spot if you need to make sure you can actually maintain that consistency is a huge, huge part.
But that's the same for coach as well, that your coach and backroom team is all together, be it your top end coach to your assistant, to your nutritionist, to your S&C. Because I was listening to Rio Ferdinand recently, and he was on about Sir Alex Ferguson. He said this is the reason why, say, David Moyes didn't succeed at Man United, because Sir Alex could deviate all the jobs to everyone's S&C, stats, everything. David Moyes wanted to be
the main man, I wanted to
have all of it. And you can't do that. You have to trust your backroom team.
Yeah.
Same way a player has to trust his teammates. So definitely that. Everyone just working together, sing off the same hymn sheet.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's where it's interesting. And I know I'm going to be a little controversial now because you're a Galway man. I'm talking about Dublin. But that seems to be what Jim Gavin has done. He's, with good ease and without any major kind of hullabaloo from himself, he's had a few bits and pieces of moans, but for the most part, for the last number of years, he just sat nicely and tipped away steadily, and he's just built such a massive crew and team with him. And they've always been, like, he's had some injuries and he's had some different issues going on. But when you have that volume of good players, consistently healthy, man, you got a huge chance to do things.
And it's their whole back, they all seem to be a cohesive unit. Yeah. And I can see the exact same thing with the hurlers, why they're so successful.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely you can see it even more and more with the footballers, what Kevin has built there as
very
well.
Much.
And like, it's just massive. Like, a player can read off a coach if they're not happy with another coach.
Yeah.
Same way players can read off another player if he's not happy with someone else as well. Yeah. They can bring everything down. So
totally. So I won't keep you too much longer now, Mike. I've got a couple of final questions.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, that book from Paul, the Carver coaching methods
framework,
Carver coaching framework, sorry. Is there any other books that you're kind of looking at the moment that are kind of taking your fancy?
Not really. It's my biggest downfall is the reading side of it for normal books. I wouldn't have read too many books. Yeah. Going through like Bounce would have been another brilliant one that I would have read. Just for the sports psychology side of stuff, I'd be more listening to podcasts. So Danny Lennon on Sigma Nutrition I'd have that on constantly. And then from the sports side of it, Off the Ball, and then Precision Nutrition. I see the book because John Baratti. Brilliant. It's so well put, and he's they're a brilliant one to follow on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
Their infographics are top notch. But Danny Lennon's Sigma Nutrition, it's not just nutrition. It goes from health to exercise to nutrition side of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a whole base of it, and he's brilliant top end people on it all the time. Mm-hmm. So that'll be my type of reading now is the big thing that I have to start doing.
But I think that could be a difficult one, like, because I'm the same. Like, I'm reading regularly now, man, but I'm much more of I like to relax and read.
Yeah.
I do, of course, do it for study wise, but I pick up so much more from Audible, so much more from
definitely from podcasts. Like, you know, that you're kind of going for if it's going for a walk or a run, you're listening to it, like, you know, and you find that you pick up things
so much more.
If you're not even that paying that much attention, you'll pick it up.
Yeah.
And as much as you can, like, so that's the main thing for me is the podcast. They're brilliant, absolutely brilliant
stuff. So what's next for you? What are you kind of looking forward to the next? We'll say maybe give it 6 months or so, maybe up to the next year, and feel free to promote yourself like that if you want. No, I don't mind. I'm quite a straightforward kind of podcast like that. Go for it, I don't mind.
I'm fully booked.
Exactly. So don't go near him just yet, man. Give him a while.
No.
But what are you looking forward to most, really?
So it's actually very funny. So like, when I came out of it, I was looking clinical. That's where I wanted to go. And I was saying it to Maeve, I was like, because she's in the Galway Clinic, she's a dietitian. I was like, is there anything you can have in there that I can get involved in? And ever since I said that, I'm working in everything sport. So I love it. Like, I absolutely love it. The only thing about it is it's just, it's tough trying to get my own training as well. I want to do as much as I can in the club. So, but like, I'm only after coming out, like, I'm not going to, like, I'm getting asked by some brilliant coaches and everything like that, like, you know, I'm just literally after coming from Fergal Healy over in Crockwell, would have watched him play hurling, like, so he's a great, like, and, like, his mindset, even just talking to him for 15, 20 minutes, it's brilliant. So, hopefully now, like, I can be well involved in with the senior hurlers, get to know them a bit more and be involved there, come championship days, like, that's going to be massive. The minors and the under-20s, definitely... I'm really looking forward to the minor side stuff because I think there's such like amount you can do with them and they can pick up, like, you know, at the 20s as well. You're going to find that like when you're getting to that 20 years of age, your first year, second year of college, the bad choices. I was just up in college, so I know how to budget throughout it. So that's going to be a great thing, the practical side of stuff. So, and on that side is dietetics kind of applying to that. But like, I love what I'm doing and everything like that, and hopefully that can keep going as much as I can. What I'm trying to do within the clubs is get to know the group, the parents, and everything like that underage, that we can, you know, get academies and sorting that out as well, like that, at a younger age we can get people in. So hopefully in the next 6 to 9 months, have my own place, got kind of, you know, in, I'm hoping somewhere in Galway, just kind of to make it easier for people to contact me, and just, you know, having a base that you can be doing it from there. But yeah, this 6 to 9 months, because August time, all like the hurling will be done, you'll be more in your club side of stuff again. We'll see where it goes from there, but I'd say it'll be fairly hands on now, like up until then. That's what I want to be doing. There's nothing better to be busy. I'm after coming off of December of not doing too much where I got lazy, and then you're back into it. Like this week's been hectic, but it's been brilliant. Like,
lovely to get back at it, exactly.
And hopefully now can make, like, you know, you're constantly learning and just staying like that as humble and keep learning all the time as much as you can, and that by the end of 6-9 months that they looked at me and said, Mike did a brilliant job there, or it's like, you know, there was a few mistakes here and there, but we learned from them and we get them to go again. And that's like, you're constantly learning. So hopefully in 6-9 months there's some good reviews coming out.
You'll have some good successes.
No
doubt you'll have changed some focuses and some mentality.
And you have to be adaptable to all these things. Like, you know, everything I'm saying now could change in 3 to 6 months. So I think being like that, being humble, being able to adapt to it, like, you know, and taking the criticisms and taking like the feedback from people. Absolutely. So hopefully now, and working within the coaching staff, so it'll be a new one for me.
Nice. If people wanted to get in contact with you, where would be the kind of way to go? Just chuck you an email potentially, and to touch base. Obviously you're very busy, so we're not going to take too much of that. But
My email is mikeday.day@gmail.com. I'm on LinkedIn, so just Mike Day, and then I'm Instagram. Then it's a funny one actually. It's Mattress Mick. It's called. So if you want a mattress as well,
nice.
It's Mike. Just putting Michael Day, and I'm trying to kind of launch my own Instagram page. Just trying to get out the pages that I follow myself and trying to get their content out there and kind of bring my own in. I'm just waiting for that to come through. It's Day-to-Day Health, and so trying to mix the kind of sports science and the nutrition, and trying to get the good content that I know is out there, and trying to get it to people from in around Galway and in around anyone I can help with, and trying to get my own out there as well as much as I can. So hopefully in the next few weeks I'll have that maybe launched and get going. It's kind of New Year's resolution that I can get that going. But there is, you can contact me.
Super stuff. Well, Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. I've no doubt you're going to go on and do fantastic things. You've had a great athletic career, and will continue on, no doubt, with the club. And I wish you the absolute best of luck with the teams going forward. It sounds like a good, fun year.
Yeah.
Busy, but fun and a good challenge.
Definitely. Definitely.
But hopefully you enjoyed the conversation. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, and we'll wish you the best of luck.
Thanks a million for having me, Park.
Okay, folks, so you've just been listening to episode number 44 of the Humble Coach Podcast with Michael Day. So first of all, guys, I'd love to say a massive thank you to Michael for joining me and taking the time to sit down and chat about all of the different areas that we did today. As you can tell, he has a fantastic knowledge of nutrition and sports performance, and I've no doubt he's going to do fantastic work with his teams in the future. If you'd like to check out any of the other episodes, you can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, and we're also available on podbean.com, which is our home base. A final thank you to everybody for your continued support of the podcast. Really, really appreciate it, guys, and looking forward to many more podcasts in the future. Chat to you guys very soon, and have a fantastic day.